That means we've got to move out the garden.
Someone put the first Peter,
chapter 5.
Everyone may go to children's church.
I am thankful this morning that when the devil comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. I am glad the Holy Ghost begins to move in hearts to defeat. It's so wonderful that we have God, that when the devil has been beaten on us, God will go ahead and do so much, then he begins to move for deliverance. Some people come out to church just for another service. Brother, we're in a battle. We're in a battle like we've never been in a battle in all of our lives. It's so wonderful to come into the presence of the Almighty God in a collected way and begin just to worship and praise Him. But oh, brother, we also are in a battle. We're in one body. And the body is dismembered, and the body is paralyzed, and the body has got difficulties. And God is calling His body to come to perfection. The time is late. And the title of my sermon this morning, The Mind is the Battlefield. The mind is the battlefield. Not one person needs to check this sermon off to the person next to you. This sermon is for you. Now, Holy Father, I pray that you might anoint me. As may cause the Spirit of the Lord to come upon me, Lord, with power, take hold of this word, begin to expand it by your Spirit. Cause me, Lord, to bring forth that which is of God, that Satan might be defeated in this very hour, that the assembly might gain new vigor and zeal and strength, and might begin to walk in new power. Lord, take this message and may it strike the heart. And may the wheels be open to grab this thing and to go with it in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You can put your name in where the word whom is. Seeking, write your name there that he might devour you. Satan has got one thing in mind for you, hell. And he will not rest until he gets you there. The Spirit of the Lord will take no rest either, to use a expression. Until God gets you into the gates of glory. And so you are being pulled by two forces, and your mind is the battlefield. You ever wonder why your temptation is so hard? Why is it that your temptation is so hard? Why is it so hard? Why is it so difficult? Have you ever asked yourself the question why it's so difficult? It's because of the battle that's raging. It's because the forces of the evil one have access to your mind. And they are programming you daily. Daily they are forcing, making inroads into your mind. Coming into the living room of your mind. And broadcasting to you. To reorient you, to lie to you, to defeat you. Our minds are being besieged by lying spirits and lustful spirits, such as the world has never seen in these last days. And especially as the end grows nearer, it's going to get worse and worse. Especially as the nation is leaving God. And therefore leaving the extra protection of God. Especially as the nation is turning to a cult of all kinds. This nation is going to find itself run over with evil spirits. And right now we are seeing people go through mind battles that I have never seen in my entire life. I have brought it brought to you a number of years ago. I heard Reverend McAllister, who has a large Pentecostal church in Rio de Janeiro on the fourth floor of a skyscraper on the main street. And he has a large church there, and he has doctors and lawyers and all kinds of people. And he said Brazil is 85% practicing spiritualists. They are baptized Catholic. The Portuguese came over as Catholics, but Catholicism to Brazil. Then they took slaves from Africa who had spiritism and demons. And the spiritism has taken over the land. And although they are baptized Catholic, they're practicing sorcery. They are spiritual. And there is all kinds of power and demon power there like you do not see in America today. They have all kinds of things happening. Demon forces are large. And he said, when we talked to him, he said, it feels so strange. He said, I'm only 4 days out of Rio. He said, when I'm down there, he says, the pressures, the demon forces are so strong everywhere. He said, you're constantly battling every day. You're battling against the forces of the devil. He said, I'm in America. It seems so strange. He says, down there when the forces of the devil are working, we call upon God mightily, and God comes to deliver, and he casts out demons, and he works deliverance. But there's a battle going on. We feel the battle, we feel the powers of Satan, and we feel the power of God. And in the secret church I was in, he said, we come to America, and he said, I don't feel anything. It's like a gray area. It's just like it's not black and it's not white. It seems like there's no battle. I don't feel the powers of Satan. I don't feel the powers of God. It seems like I'm in a lull. It's a strange feeling. I just come out of there. I'll be heading back. It only takes about 6 months. After about 6 months, he said, I've got to get out for a few days. I've got to get out. The battle is so hard. And then I go back again because that's my calling. Friend, it's coming to this country because we're entering in the very same thing, and we won't be able to get out in 6 months because all the other nations of the earth are in worse shape, and we'll have to stick through until Jesus comes again. And we must not capitulate to those thoughts that come in, but we must stand upon the word of truth. We must become living epistles. We must hide this word away in our heart. We might not sin against him. We must begin to live in it. We must begin to walk by it. We must begin to allow the Holy Spirit to take us into heavenly places. We must begin to walk in the Spirit, or we will never make it through, but we will make it through because we will walk in the Spirit. After the rapture, I want to tell you that if you don't make it, if you don't walk with God as you should, if you don't, you will miss the out translation of the saints. And when that happens, according to the word of God, that he, the man child, the invisible church who now restrains, shall restrain the powers of lawlessness until he be set upon the midst. And then shall that wicked one, that lawless one, and the spirit of lawlessness run over the earth. And this world is coming to lawlessness like the world has never seen. And according to the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation, all nations shall be deceived by the sorceries of drugs and evil religions that come along with it. And the whole world is going into that kind of a lying spirit. There are going to be, I said, the whole world, it says, it's full of every evil spirit, and the cage of every unclean bird, every unclean spirit shall be let loose. And I tell you, if you want to make it, if you don't make it, you're going to see lying spirits, you're going to see mind battles, you're going to see problems like you've never seen in all your days and all your life. When the devil is cast out of heaven and has great wrath because he knows he has but a short time, and his forces push with all they've got for those few years that are lasting. I tell you, it's important that we hold to the hope of the church, the out translation of the saints, and that we begin to prepare, and if we haven't already, to be that bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. We are living in days when there's new philosophies everywhere that it's abroad. The thinking of man is being rapidly changed all over the globe. It doesn't make any difference in what country you're in. In Asia, where they've held certain philosophies for centuries, it's being turned overnight. The whole world is being overturned by one spirit, and it is causing people to philosophize different. There's a new thinking abroad, and it's everywhere. And it's infiltrating into churches because people are coming into the churches, and it's coming in with that new philosophy that's of the devil. And that's why we have to hold to the authority of God's Word. That's why we have to hold to the authority of the government of the church. That's why we have to do what the Holy Ghost leads us, because it'll come in, it's twisting, it's warping. Somebody told me the other day, a certain person was a stewardess on an airplane, and they're on a particular charter flight, and they were on a flight where there were Elvis Presley, and there was a number of Christians who sing a certain Christian quartet and so forth, and he said everything that was going on was everything but Christian. You know, today there are Christian ministries, groups around this country that are so diabolical, they're so far from God, they are so far out of the Spirit. One person testified in this group, they had been working for something like 7 or 9 years with these different groups, Christian groups across America that were trying for drug rehabilitation and various things. And he says the very Christian group itself was selling in traffic, in harlotry, and in drugs and other things. There are people coming across with big names, and they're so deep in sin, they're living so far away from God, there's so much has invaded the whole church world, the whole world is lies in the life of the wicked one. Sin is every place. The devil has not left anyone or anything unturned. He's changing families. People all across America, they're wife swapping, they're adultery, their fornication is widespread everywhere in the churches and out of the churches. Adultery and fornication is so common today. There is so much drugs, there is so much venereal disease, there is so much crime, there is so much lust, there is so much hate, there is so much rebellion, there is so much everything like this. The devil is coming in, and the Bible warns us that the day of the out translations are not come, except there come a great falling away first, a great apostasy, and we're seeing an apostasy in the church world like we've never seen, and it behooves us to hold fast to God. These are days when no Christians left every home. The devil is coming to break homes. Christian families are breaking up like I've never seen in all my days. Christian families, back when I was a boy, you didn't hear of Christian families breaking up like that. It seems husband and wife can't get along anymore because of the spirit of the enemy has come in. And you see, when he comes in for rebellion, when he comes in for all these things, they begin to eat away at, like a cancer at every single thing there is in the church, in the home, in the school, in the life, until it's turned the whole society up. Lies are coming forth through every mass media it is. Have you ever looked out there? All of a sudden, I look out there, you know, I'm staggered. I say, Lord, how can everybody be changed overnight? It seems like the whole culture, no matter who it is, somebody has turned a switch, and all of a sudden everybody thinks different. There are new definitions today, new philosophies to go by, and new definitions for all these particular philosophies, you know, philosophical things, a new definition to go by. And this is the very heart of everything. There is the philosophy and the definition. And so now everything goes different. That which is evil and wicked and twisted is now called adult, as opposed to child, say. We are living in dangerous times. Eternal life. Your eternal life hangs in the balance. These are desperate days. They're not days to go asleep in, or the devil binds you. Then you've got to shake yourselves like Samson. When we find the devil comes in, and he comes upon us, and we sin, and we go careless, and we go sleepy, we've got to rise from the dead that he might give us life. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Brother, we'd all be gone if it wasn't for God's tender love and His Spirit coming down and helping us in hours when we can't make it, hours when we have stumbled and fallen, clouded up, and the devil has come in, and then all of a sudden Jesus comes on the scene, lets you know how wonderful He is. Take the lies out of the mind. Remove the evil spirits that are besieging. Break open the prison doors and flood you with His love and power and peace. And mercy, when you feel you can't even lift your head up and you can't praise God because you're not worthy, He comes in and His worthiness just comes all over, His love and His power and His righteousness infuses you until you're mighty in God. Oh, how wonderful He is. When you can't go on, like the sister said this morning, He gives you grace upon grace and you find you can go on. We've got to keep that so we might go on. The devil has let loose something today, also called transcendental meditation. And it's invading the schools with classes in it. It's everywhere. Never even heard of it when I was a boy.
And this is a situation where you come and there's all kinds of forms of it, and I don't know too much about it, but you come and you get your mind into a neutral state. Get it out of the critical apparatus that God has put in there. Get that out of there. Bring yourself into a neutral state, and then reach out after some spirit or some truth or something, and let it come in. Get yourself free from everything that everything has been built that God put in there to protect you. Get it out. Bring it to neutral. Know nothing, and hold no guard. Fire all your guards, and then let anybody infiltrate. That's exactly what the devil is doing. You know how they do this? They say, it's been given forth as a therapy today against all the anxiety, all the pressures. There's so much pressure on modern America. With a system today, and the rock music that's banging against you in near eardrums, and all the noise and the clamor, and all the complexity of the age, and all the voices are calling, the lights are blinking, the merchants are banging their wares, and everything is blaring, blaring, blaring. Man's under such pressure, he's rushing by a time clock, and they need a transcendental meditation, and they feel a kind of peace coming down. And sudden destruction. You see, first of all, the devil gets people in a state of anxiety, and he comes upon them, he gets them nervous and pressured, and then he pawns off himself through transcendental meditation as the medicine for that calamity and that sickness he's brought. Then he brings a pseudo peace over you. So you lie there in a pseudo peace where you're no good to yourself or society or anything, but he rebrainwashes you, messes you all up until you float around in some ethereal lie, and drifting around thinking that you're next to God himself and you're so spiritual and everything, and you've got demons lying still for your God. It's taking over America. Something else concerns me, and this is the main point of the message, is this point right here. Subliminal reindoctrination is the new thing of the day. I don't mean it's popular yet. I mean it's here and it's coming. It's being good, and it has a profound impact. A profound impact. We learn by two things, the liminal and the subliminal. The liminal is the conscience. The subliminal is the subconscious. Liminal means threshold. It's a threshold that you can understand. The subliminal is that which is below the threshold of your consciousness. You're not even conscious that you hear it. Like you're talking to somebody and somebody snaps a finger behind you, and hit the wall, or thumbs a page of a book, you hear it, and it registers through the tympanic membrane and through the spirit battle into the mind, and it registers that you aren't even aware of it because your mind is concentrating on something else and didn't even know it was there. See? Some liminal. In the book of Jude, we read that certain men crept in unawares. Unawares. Certain men came in unawares, and people weren't aware that they even circulated into the assembly. And this new law, they're starting to re-indoctrinate people. But today we have a much more insidious method. You don't have to have a man coming in to do it. Things are entering our subconscious mind all the time. I want to talk about this subconscious mind this morning. Our mind is capable and does receive things from 37 different sources on two different levels of comprehension, the conscious and the subconscious, the liminal and the subliminal. Our mind is capable of storing over 20 billion thoughts. Fantastic memory science. Our eyes, the eyes themselves are making 100,000 computations a day. 100,000 photographs of information have been filtered in. And your mind is picking up things continually all day, your ears, and registering in your mind. And your subconscious is registering everything you see, everything you hear, everything you feel, and everything you smell, and everything you taste, all hours of the day, every day, and loading in your mind. And you're going to find that it has a great impact on your life. You say, oh, it doesn't bother me. I can go out and I can watch this particular movie, X-rated movie, TV movie, or whatever,
And it didn't have any impact on me.
That's what you think. That's the whole point of the message. It has a profound impact upon you, which I am going to bring in a moment. We are not unaffected by what enters the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is by far the bigger of the two, the conscious and the subconscious. Much more so than the conscious. And it starts to filter down into the conscious. It is awakened and brought to the conscious mind when we see something or we hear something. We taste something, feel something, and all of a sudden there's a memory, the memory bank is tapped, and electrical impulses run throughout that mind, picking up from the subconscious as well as from the conscious. From the subconscious begins to pick up these things and they begin to come into focus. And because we feel by these things, we begin to feel things that have been stored in the conscious, subconscious mind. And we begin to feel and have a great impact upon the temptations that seize hold of us. And all of a sudden, we don't understand. We see something, and boom, it triggers off, and a feeling comes, and an area of lust, or sex glands begin to be stimulated. And you didn't mean to stimulate them. You didn't know how it happened. Your eye took a photograph. You heard something. My wife and I were in a store the other day, and there was a rock and roll, and you know this a lot better than I do, a rock and roll message was blowing out there, and I began to listen to some of the words, and it all had to do with fornication. Strong, sensual, the whole beat, the message, the breathing, the whole everything was fornicate with your girlfriend was what the message was about. It was pounding. Now those people, and I saw a guy over there, he was in it, see? His mind was, he was going like this. He's like hypnotized, just like they hypnotize, just like the, you know, like they wave in front of a cobra, you know, over in India, you know. There he was, just like that cobra in the basket, see? He was already had the fixation, and he'd been loading stuff into that memory bank of the subconscious for so long, he already been so infused in it. If he's not fornicating with his girlfriend, it'll be a rarity. It'll be unusual. These things come, they put power on you, they put pressure on you, because you're loading these things up in your mind. This is why it's so important what we read, what we see, what we hear, the environment that we're in. It's so important. Now I know you can't get away from it all. But we can't make the excuse, we can't get away from it all, so I might as well go ahead and take too much either. Jesus said, we're in the world, but not of it. But not only are we impacted by what's in the world, we've got to counterbalance it by the ascending here, and in the spirit, and in prayer, and these other things, to hold our equilibrium, because nobody is going to be untouched by it. Nobody. There is not a man or a minister in America, or a woman, or any person of God, who's going to be untouched by it. Just because God's called you and you love God doesn't mean you're untouched. These things are banging on you. There's a $20 billion plus brainwash aimed at you and me, and it's hammering through every medium there is today. In the movies, when brought to my attention, some brother wrote me a letter the other day, grieved in the spirit because he hears that some people in this assembly are going to some movies that are X-rated and R-rated and things like this. You know, I've said it before, the movie industry is in such a state of corruption. And even those things labeled G, you got to watch at the heart. And some people have given up television because they know it has. A lot of young people have given up television. They know that it has hurt their walk. They know it's been a trap to them. They know they've been it's been feeding them, and they've given up. And now for occasional something to do, go out to some movie like that. And one person said, I don't know who it is. One person said to him, well, it's no worse than what we see in the streets. Well, I want you to know what we see in the streets has caused many a Christian man and non-Christian men a lot of trouble. Just what you see in the streets has caused them a lot of trouble. Our streets are no criteria. That's not the New Jerusalem out there, brother. That's Sodom and Gomorrah. You can get so brainwashed and twisted and warped and sensual going to the schools out here. Magazines, the streets, the home. Parents, the home. Watch your home. Everything, everywhere, is blowing at you. The billboards. Every type of advertisement seeping through everything that there is and is binding on you and being stored up here. It's all being stored in you, all what you eat, you know. What is the result of this $20 billion advertising plus all the rest of it? Well, you can see the result. The world is submitting to the brainwash. The world is being changed, twisted by it. Senators, congressmen, teachers, professors, all clergymen, all walks of life are submitting to the new indoctrination, and we are stuck in the middle of it. It's serious, deadly serious. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. The nation has been sowing tares, and they're starting to reap it. And the nation is crumbling because of it. You know this nation can't do anything right anymore? Makes mistakes every time it turns? Scared to death of everything there is? Every news is always bad. Everything is getting deeper in debt, more crime. Everything is worse than it was the year before. Why don't we ever hear that crime is close to being solved and things are getting a lot better and finances are getting better and everything is getting worse? Higher taxes, more in debt, more crime, worse in every respect all the time, continually. Brother Sumrall, in an article he wrote, said that there was a TV liquor ad in which they used some liminal advertising. It's against the FCC ruling right now. I don't understand why it's been done. I don't know if it was test cases that they allowed for testing. I don't know if they did it and were paid a fine. I don't know if they didn't or what happened. But he says there was a subliminal ad and a TV liquor ad, and they had some liquor with ice cubes. And they flashed on the ice cubes the word sex. And they flashed it so fast, they're capable of flashing so fast words that your eyes pick it up all right. You know, it's coming right in through the corner of the eye and the rods and the cones is being transmitted, but your conscious mind doesn't know that it's real. It's below the threshold level, and the subconscious mind is storing it. It's called a subliminal, say, advertising. Sex on the ice. And then it might have been a test, probably was, because they gave out surveys to psychiatrists and also to college students, and they said that they were aroused sexually by seeing a liquor ad and did not know why. I don't mean powerfully, but they felt some sex stimulation and did not understand why when they just saw the liquor ad. And they've shown through this what subliminal advertising can do, and it begins to tap all the feelings you've had and all the things you've thought about and seen and got stirred up here has to do with sex. You begin to perceive it, and then the sex glands begin to operate, and the person is unaware. Your children are watching these ads. You are watching these ads. You never know what one might have subliminal advertisement on it. Brother Sumner also said that there was a rock group that gave out sub-audio suggestions below the audio range in which the conscious mind can pick it up. But it was being picked up by the subconscious. And on this, particular rock group, the things that they were flashing out through the music, although you didn't pick it up with your mind, was communism is the perfect form of government. Your parents are evil. Hate your parents. You are no good. You should kill yourself. Take drugs. They're good. The police are pigs, and your president is crooked. Constantly. And we kept coming out below the sub-audio range. Now, whether they are caught and fined is beside the point. You still got the message. You never know, because nobody knows it. Unless some special test is made, nobody knows when they put it out. You don't know what's being put out on these, since they have the capability today. That's why this rock music is so dangerous. It leads to frustration, hate, warped minds, rebellion, complete and re-indoctrination. Brother Sumrall also said there are 15 commercial research firms offering subliminal message services today. He said that there was a drive-in theater in which they flashed, this may have also been a test, I don't know, they flashed the word Coke every 2 minutes during the whole film. Nobody saw it or even knew it. And time the intermission came, they were so thirsty they all rushed out and bought Coke, and the sales went up just like that. Now, you know what advertising people are doing on the sales curve, don't you? They're going to do everything they can to get that almighty dollar. The love of money is the root of all evil. What is the impact of subliminal messages? They are bringing and are going to bring you to be able to think you can't love people. You can't love God. You don't love God. You're incapable of anything. You hate people. There's no hope. I know these messages are going to come out. This is the message of the devil. There's no hope. It's going to bring the state of hopelessness. They can change the attitudes of people on walls, politics, sin. They can manipulate the nervous system so that they destroy mental health. And mental health happens to be a national problem right now. Half of all the hospital beds in America, they say, are occupied by people who've got mental disturbance, mental problems, or psychosomatic illnesses, all in the mind. People are under such nervous pressures and nervous tensions and nervous fears and worries, and the devil has brought worries and fears until people are so loaded that they're sick, the feelings all through their body. And the devil will work in everything he's got. And if you've got a heavy load to carry, brother, you become a prime target to hammer on. If you're a nervous individual, if an individual is susceptible to fears and doubt, and you're one of the introverted type, believe me, he's going to hammer on you in that area. The devil is like a boxer. He's looking for a weak point. He's going to jab it hard. You start to bleed someplace, he's going to pound on it. Like Mark said, who wants to join him? He's trying to beat you up. The 1974 TV guide said that a United States task force sent out under the Attorney General said that it is now possible for a TV satellite sent around this world by the United States or Russia to send subliminal signals directly in the TV sets without going to the TV station first. Now, if the communists are capable of doing that, and they have been great brainwashed centers, what are they going to do to your TV set? Nothing? Or something? And the something, what? Since they are anti-God and God-haters and of Satan, you know what they're going to bring. It won't be safe to own a TV set very much longer. Okay. And you don't know what's being put on those movie films either, in the movies. Or on the rock and roll records and all that kind of stuff. The world is headed for disaster. I'm going to read you three scriptures quickly. Don't bother turning unless you're really wanting really fast. Luke 18:8. I tell you that he shall revenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And the implication is not much. When he comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Not much. Not much. 2 Thessalonians 2:1-3. This is concerning the rapture, the time of the rapture, and the Antichrist coming on the scene as soon as the rapture is concluded. 2 Thessalonians 2, now we beseech you, brethren, as touching the parousia, the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our being gathered or collected together unto him, at the out translation, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, and so forth, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, the out translation, shall not come except to come a falling away or apostasy first, and that man of sin or lawlessness be revealed, the son of perdition. There's coming a great apostasy. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, that's the living, and the dead, at his appearing and at his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering in doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. That day is already upon us, and it's going to get worse. What will the next 5 or 10 years bring? And things are moving at a accelerated pace they are today. I predict that in the future that we're going to find out that governmental and legitimate sources will begin using subliminal methods. Psychologists, psychiatrists, psychopathic laboratories, sociological groups will start trying to manipulate you into their social mental health through subliminal methods. They tried hypnotism, they tried other things, now they got a new method. And I think they're going to try to use it. And it may come, you may find someday for the last 3 years that certain sociological groups and programs, etc., psychiatrists, psychologists, you send people, Christians send their kids to when they got problems, have been dealing with them, sending out subliminal messages. I predict that we're going to get into what I'll call a subliminal obsession. Something programmed at you day and night that will hit you and your particular weakness until it obsesses the person. And it's going to lead to a complete lawlessness and breakdown of all authority. And when that happens, and there is complete lawlessness, the people are going to demand a police state. And that's where the Antichrist comes in. Everybody wants it. They've got to have it to survive. You don't dare go out on the street. It's getting bad enough now. You don't hardly dare go out on the street. It's going to get worse. Have you ever noticed that nobody ever solves any crime? No. Nobody. I mean, to any great extent. I mean, it hasn't been solved. They're just chipping away at it, but it's bigger than they are. You got state patrolmen all over America sitting beside the curb waiting for you to go 5 or 10 miles too fast so they can get more revenue. And the mafia runs free, and people breaking into homes, and there's lawlessness everywhere throughout America, and nobody's crushing it. There is no force to stamp it out. Bring them in, slap their hands, and let them go again. Where will the next 5 or 10 years take us? Will we be drugged down with it? Will you make it? Brother, you've got to make it. Let me take the second part of my message. The second part asks the question, what can we do to protect ourselves? I want to tell you something before I do this. I'm not just talking about subliminal messages that come below the audio range and the visual range. I am talking about also everything we're hearing that's loaded in the memory cells, we easily forget it, immediately. So we watch the program, forget it, watch this, forget it, hear this, forget it. It's logged in there, and it has an impact.
All right, what can we do to protect ourselves?
Number one, consider the source of our information. If it's an evil source, boycott it. Consider the source that are making these kind of movies. Don't trust them. As far as you can throw a piano. You know, they used to make movies to entertain. Now they make it to politically slant you. And the brainwash and the lies. TV programs. Advertisements. Bombarding you. If I spend time here, I can tell you how advertisements. You know, they're not spending all that money for advertisements for nothing. It's reshaping the thinking of America. Or they wouldn't have all that advertisement out there. All the programs. Nobody does anything because they sit down and have drinks. You notice that? Nobody does anything with what they always do. They always have drinks out all the time. They always have to be drinking all the time. They want that to be the feeling of America that everybody always has to have a liquor glass in your hand. And it's making a profound effect, too. Alcoholism is a tremendous problem in this nation. Music, especially rock music, it's pushing drugs and sex and things like this. Watch the source. If it's coming from evil sources, boycott it. Magazines. All these things are leading Christians to be precious for adultery, fornication, exhibition, sex obsession, drug obsession, mind battle, faith battle, pushing the worldliness, rebellion. In an age when standards are falling away, there's no standard. Get your moral values from the Word of God, from the move of the Spirit and the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost teachers. Because this determines the classification of everything. I mean your moral values determine it. When we get to we have no moral values left, then what? Even out in the world, the moral values are changing so much. You know, those teachers used to stand, and they would stand so firm if somebody did a certain thing. Today, they're even pushing it. They used to take a strong stand against things. Today, they're pushing the kids into it. I read one time in a certain movie critic, he mentioned that when Gone with the Wind first came out, it was the first movie in America to have a cuss word at it, and one cuss word at the end of it, damn. Even the Catholic Church forbid all of its people to see it because it had a word damn in it. And this critic said, as it has progressed, I'll have to admit that I have been so brainwashed by watching the movies continually, as being a movie critic, he said, today I'm unaffected by things that are a million times worse, just saturated. It's just not affecting me. All the, you know, when you first feel these things and see things, your sensibilities are shocked. But then they ask how you begin to get dull until you're not shocked anymore. And after a while, you begin developing an appetite for it. Beware. We are living in dangerous days. Watch the environment that you're living in. Be careful when you what you classify and how you classify and how you accept what your subconscious feeds your conscious. You have something coming in your mind from the devil or from any source, careful how you label it. Be careful that you don't stamp truth on it when it's a lie. Hold me a incinerator that doesn't just say, lie, I'm against it, it's a lie, I'm against it. You see, you can accept things in your mind as long as you label, I'm against it. As long as you take a stand, I'm against it, it's a lie, I refuse it, it's terrible. But when you bring it in, and the devil begins to lie to you about some other brother or sister or yourself, and said, oh, you can't do anything. I mean, you might as well quit. You've tried. Oh, I mean, you've tried. Hopeless. You're hopeless. You're hopeless. And you believe it. Well, maybe I'm hopeless. Maybe I am hopeless. I must be hopeless. You know, Eve wouldn't have gotten in trouble if she hadn't dialogued with the devil. You begin to consider those lies. Well, maybe I am hopeless. Pretty soon you'll begin feeling hopeless. Now set in. And then the wishman, you might as well give up. Well, look, what God hasn't been fair to you. You've been seeking him and what you got, nothing. You might as well turn and do something the opposite. Next thing you know, you're doing things you don't know what you're doing, because we're accepting these things that come in and we're labeling them. Truth and no lies. Listen, if it isn't according to the Word of God, if it isn't according to good sense, if it isn't logical, makes good sense, you can prove it, and the information and the evidence is right there, clear and plain, then you know something's wrong. It's not the truth. Don't believe it. And then if the devil pinpoints you on the truth where you are implicated, then instead of accepting it, you can do nothing. Take the Word of God that he can do something and get it taken care of. Certain young lady in this congregation, she's not the only one. We had more than one. Young man, mother, I don't love Jesus. I've never given my heart to Jesus. I never would have. That's a lie, brother. I knew better. He's speaking in tongues. I don't love Jesus. That's why you're so worried about walking with Jesus for if you don't love him. Another young lady, I don't even know if I'm saved anymore. She hadn't done anything wrong. Seriously, I mean, she hadn't gone out and done it. She hadn't backslid. She hadn't done, she'd been walking with God, loved God, all that, and yet she thought she was lost. Lies! Another young lady, filled with the power of God one day and in deep depression the next, and back and forth and back and forth. Brother, there's no reason we should go through things like this. Another young lady being deceived until she doesn't even know if she loves her fiancé. She doesn't know whether she's up or down because the devil is lying. I suppose a lot of you can relate to that. We've got to be careful what we let in here. If we are dogmatic to let no negativeness, see, I'm going to say it again. I've said it lots of times. No negative. No harbor, no resentment. No criticalness, no rebellion. Get it all taken care of. And hold to the Word of God and always preach the truth and preach victory and believe victory and take it. You can protect yourself, insulate yourself from all this. When we begin taking this stuff and begin doing this, brother, you don't stand a chance. Careful of your thoughts. Careful of your attitudes. Don't allow wrong attitudes to remain in you. That's dangerous. These things are more dangerous than you ever think. Why do you think so many people are backslidden? Why have so many got in trouble? This is why. Be careful what you allow yourself to think. Monitor carefully what you allow yourself to think. Next, assemble often in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Neglect not the assembling of yourselves together, and all the more so as you see the day of the Lord approaching, the Holy Ghost said. Be much in Holy Ghost atmosphere to counteract. Be much in the church. Be much in private prayer. Be much in group prayer. Be much in fellowship. Be much in the Word of God. Be much, this is good place, be much in the Word. Washed by the Word of God. Be much in the Word that you might keep thinking like this. See? Keep much in here. Keep your mind straight. Be much in positive talking. Praising God. Upbuilding. Whatever things are good, think on these things, the Scripture says. See, God knows these things. Be much in spiritual thinking. Be much in spiritual talking. Be much in the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean?
Living in the Spirit is a life. This is an abiding state. We are living in the Spirit. We have the Spirit living in us. We are living by the Spirit in abide. And we are in an abiding state of the Holy Ghost in us, and we're living by the Spirit of life, although sometimes it's inactive in our life. But walking in the Spirit, the Greek means studied, measured steps. That is an exercise of the will, a conscious walking in the Spirit. The life in the Spirit is that inward power, but walking in the Spirit is an outward action. There is a life in the Spirit, or living. We draw our breath and life from the Spirit. He said, now if you're going to draw your life and your breath from the Spirit, and you're going to, and it's going to be your measure, your measuring rod, and your walk, and your thinking, and your life, and you'll be infused by it, then take conscious steps to walk in it. Take actions in it. Initiate actions to back up what you're receiving of the Spirit. Don't just be hearers, but not doers. As you hear and receive life from the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. Put it into action. What good to listen to a message if you don't put it into action? Begin to put it into action. Make a determination that every time you hear a message, you're going to put it into action. You're going to start living it. You're going to start walking it. If you're going to live in the Spirit, have the Spirit come upon us, let us walk in the Spirit. Live by what you know when you're in the Spirit, not what you know and think when you're in the flesh. You know, oftentimes in the Spirit, you know things and we doubt it. To be in the doubt and forget when we're out of the Spirit, that's because the Spirit is not involved. And we're out of the Spirit. And we begin to forget, begin to doubt. That's why we must be much in the things of the Spirit to keep it fresh in our mind and keep the impact upon us and keep the motivation. Have you noticed when God is working on your heart and the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, you just feel like doing things of the Lord, you feel so dedicated, it's easy to make decisions, it's easy to dedicate. It's easy to be dogmatic for Jesus. Faith is high. You feel marvelous. It's easy to be up. You notice that? But it isn't very long out of the Spirit. You begin to be sensual and carnal and doubting and upset and everything else, you see. And some people just come in and come up just above in the water stuff and go, oh, no wonder again, you know. And then the next week, oh, no wonder again. This, help! And down they go. Spend the whole life drowning. No. Brother, let us stay on top and keep breathing in the air of God. 1 Peter 1:13. I'm almost done. This is the ninth thing to do. Now, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, you gird up the loins, I mean, the long skirt they had, they pull up the long skirt and they tied it with a sash, and they're going to make sacks. When they're going to run, you know, Elijah girded up his loins, the scripture says, and ran before the chariot of Ahab. To get you down, there comes the sound of abundance of rain. This place is going to be flooded. You'll never be able to cross the valley of Megiddo. Once the rains come, you'll be bogged down. You better get down to Samaria, Elijah, Ahab. And Ahab took off, and the scripture said the Spirit of the Lord came upon Elijah. Hallelujah. He gave his loins, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he ran before the chariot. He said to Ahab, make way for someone what can run. He took off by the Spirit of the Lord. Peter says, gird up the loins of the mind. Begin to run out for God. Don't let it all impede us, trip us up, stumble us. In other words, keep your mind in an active state in the Spirit and be very careful that nothing stumbles you in any long garment. Running the race is easily tripped up, the Greek says in Hebrews. So we won't stumble. So we can hasten on in the work of God. Remember Elisha and Gehazi? Gehazi looked out and saw all the iron chariots of the enemy. Elisha looked out and saw all the heavenly chariots of the host of God. You have your choice. If you're looking with natural eyes, you'll see all the enemies coming at you all the time. Your life is full of fighting demons. Walk in the Spirit, and you can see in the Spirit. You'll see the heavenly host of God coming to take you home. You'll see the glory of God. You'll see power in Jesus' name. Be careful not to let evil spirits invade your life. They're invading people's lives and minds. Getting such a force on them that they can't breathe. Being so controlled they can't move. When that happens, you've got to do more than pray. Get two or three others with you. You drift that demon by name. You know your problem. In the name of Jesus Christ, I come against you, you demon of hate. I will not hate anybody again. I do not hate them. Jesus is the God of love, not of hate. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Get out of my life. I will not hate. I have a right to love in Jesus' name. You evil spirit of lust, you evil spirit of schism, you evil spirit right down the line. See? Quit fearing. Start trusting God. Quit striving. Submit to the government of God and the work of the Spirit. Live by the inner man, not the outer man, the carnal nature and desires. Watch your environment. Watch your subconscious, what it has, what comes into it. How do you watch the subconscious? By examining its nature. What's the nature of what you're thinking? Look at the nature of it. Decide which side it belongs on. And watch the source it comes from. If it's coming from that source, don't believe it. Don't have anything to do with it. Don't go by apparent results. People say, well, I don't see that it's hurting me any. You can't tell that it hurts you. Because it's everything together collected that makes the impact on your life. You don't watch something and charge out and do something. It doesn't make that kind of an impact. It's loading you up with a philosophy and the things that you are no longer. Things that you once would see, you now see. Things you once would not say, you now say. Things you wouldn't ever do, you now do. It's the mass of this thing that keeps filtering down into your life that is having the impact. In conclusion, I want to say three things. One, what I told you now, don't let it bring you into fear, but let it bring you into walking in the principles by faith. By faith. Not fear, but faith in God. But with a knowledge of it, see, and being scared of the devil's business, be scared of sin, be scared of all these things, but have faith in God. Walk in Him. Not feeling, but knowledge and decision. Well, I don't feel like going to service. Well, I don't feel like being on people praying. Well, I don't feel like going on with God. Well, I don't feel like. Don't go by feelings. Go by knowledge. But make your decisions based on your knowledge of the inner man. And the last one is not legalism. Not, well, I'm going to grab this thing and do this. Oh, I mean, do everything you have to do. Don't say, I'm not going to be a legalist. Why not? Therefore, I'm not going to do this, this, and this. Yeah, do everything. Legalism does not mean, for some people get so warped in this, and they think a person says, well, this is harmful to me, I'm going to quit it. That's legalism. That's not legalism. That's intelligence. They think if you do anything of yourself to help yourself, that's legalism. That's not legalism. Legalism trusts these things you do as your spirituality. Bless God. I don't have a TV set. Bless God. I'm so holy. I heard a woman say, I haven't smoked for a week. I feel so holy I can hardly stand it. See? But walking in spiritual life. Amen. These are dangerous days to walk. Walk with care. Keep your mind pure in the peace of God and faith. Avoid, boycott all these things that pull on your flesh that are bad for you. They'll tear you up. They'll hurt you. They'll destroy you. You're in a trap. Get taken care of and begin to walk in the way that's right. Just one more thing. Picture, you know what your problem is? Picture like you could see the devil out here. He's got a great big tarantula spider about this big. And picture him out here whispering in your ear and trying to get you to do things. Picture this monster out here wanting to devour you and trying to get you over to his side. And then when you get to pull in the flesh, see that big spider out there saying, come on to hell.
might be easy to fight him.
No, he's ill.
Then stop and picture the Almighty God with all power and his hands full of blessings and think, if you come my way, you can have all this. Picture him with a hammer in his hand to beat in pieces the chains that bind you, cut them with great big cutters. Picture God to think, if you'll ask me, I'm here to cut the chains. And you know how many times you don't ask? He says, ask, ask. I will not force it. If you want to be bound, you can be bound, but ask. Won't you ask? One person said, well, I don't have to give up smoking because God hasn't taken away from me yet. Oh, brother, you receive not because you ask not. And faith believing and then acting upon it. Amen.
I am praying, will pray.
time again, you quit on playing it. Some of you need to pray. You've been drawn by the Spirit. You have some things to take care of. And as we sing the song, several more times, you dismiss as we sing it. Some of you to the altar because the Holy Ghost is drawing you. You just need to wait upon God. Some of you might want to take a hold of a brother or sister and say, please come and pray with me. Some of you may have problems. You may want to come and say, well, someone help me. Some of you just need to get along with God and spend time. Some of you have already taken care of it in the service. Oh, let's take care of it. Let's make that decision. Just even for 5 minutes. Even for 5 minutes, if some of you, before you go, can just stop and think about the message and make declarations concerning it and get it implanted deep, and then go on and set yourself in it. Then come praying that tonight God will give us a wonderful move in the spirit of freedom. Once we've taken care of something in the morning, the evening service goes along many times. This is a wonderful move of praising God in the spirit. Amen.